That was well said. And I'm going to teach the same thing he just taught, only from a different biblical story. So if you got a Bible, turn to Genesis. It's the first book. Share it with somebody near you. Put some energy into this, some effort in it. There's a Bible probably down in front of you there, or in front of you in the pew. And share it with someone near you so they can see. I want to give you an Old Testament story now that backs up principle number 6 that we have just listened to by Steve Currington, which is what? Those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. We ought to serve the Lord, you know that? If we love the Lord, we ought to keep His commandments, ought to obey Him, ought to serve Him. It's one of the evidences that we love Him, we ought to serve Him. Well, we're going to look at a man in the Old Testament tonight who knew the Lord, but he didn't serve the Lord. And why didn't he serve the Lord? As I'm going to try to point out, it's because he loved those, or he hung around those who did not love the Lord. And those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. Whether it's in your family, at your school, or, hate to say it, but even in your own church. Some that don't love the Lord, and they're not going to help you serve the Lord. And so you gotta choose those that you hang around with. Abraham Lincoln one time said that you and I will be the same people we are a year from now that we are today, except for the people we meet and the books we read. He's talking about influence. Now, of course, there's a whole lot more influence than in Abraham Lincoln's day. Now we could add to that list, Abraham Lincoln said things like television, the TV shows we watch, the internet sites we visit, the type of music we listen to. Those should also be included in principle number 6. Those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. In Genesis 11, I want to introduce us to our character tonight for a little while. Then the kids are going to come up and put their play on. Genesis 11, beginning at verse 27. Now there are the generations, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, who is Abraham, Nahor and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity and in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now I want you to know, is that just a bunch of names right there and locations? But just a couple names I want to pick out of here to look at tonight. Abram would later be called Abraham, a man who really loved the Lord, really served the Lord. A man who separated himself from some of the ungodliness that was existent in his day. And I'll show you some of the ungodliness that he had to live in close proximity of, and yet he separated himself from it. He made some mistakes. We'll see one tonight. But Abraham was a great, great man, the father of the righteous, he's called. Now, he had a brother, Haran. Haran died. And so Abram took Haran's son, Lot, L-O-T. He's the guy I want to look at for a little while. Some of you are familiar with this story. Some of you, it's brand new in biblical history. I want to talk about Lot tonight, L-O-T. Watch for his name as we go through a few chapters here. Abraham's nephew is Lot. After Lot's dad died, Abram took him in. That's a nice thing to do, isn't it? He took in his nephew and let his nephew live with him. And Abram took his nephew Lot everywhere he traveled. The Lord told him, I want you to get out of Ur of the Chaldees. I don't want you there. I want you in Canaan land. And Canaan land would later become what's known as Israel, the Holy Land. a very, very special place. And so Lot starts to travel with his uncle Abraham in verse 1 of chapter 12. Next chapter, let's read. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now notice, God tells Abram to separate himself from his kindred and his father's house, that's Terah, because Terah, if you read back, was not a godly man. We have to separate ourselves sometimes from our own loved ones. If we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to be where God wants us to be, and if we're going to end up where God wants us to end up in our journey through life, we got to separate sometimes from our own loved ones, from your own family. And Jesus talked about that in the New Testament, that sometimes he's going to divide families up, two against three, three against two, because there's two in the family that don't want to serve the Lord, three that do, or vice versa. And there's times where you literally have to separate from your biological family so that you can serve the Lord, but it'll be worth it in the end. God will use you, God will bless you, and some of those that you separated from, like Steve said, might see that your testimony means so much to you, Christ means so much to you, he's so real to you, that your stand will cause them to consider the claims of Christ and maybe some of them to even get saved. We need to separate, verse 1, sometimes from our own kindreds and our own fathers. And I will make of thee a great nation, verse 2, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, that's the kind of life we want to pursue, where we're following the Lord, separating from those that will not help us serve the Lord, so that ultimately we can be a blessing. And Abraham has been a blessing to the whole earth. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What's that mean? He's going to be the father of a nation of Hebrews, which will eventually produce a country called Israel, from which Jesus will come into the world as a Jew and be the Savior of all families of the earth. That's what it means there at the end of verse number 3. All families of the earth someday in heaven, we're told, there'll be people out of every kindred, every people, every tribe, every tongue. Why? Because Abraham was obedient and separated from people who did not love the Lord. That's our principle tonight. We can't serve the Lord if we're going to just try to hang around with them all the time. I'm not trying to be mean or unkind. In fact, if you'll serve the Lord and do right with God, in most cases, listen, they'll separate from you. They'll just separate from you. They'll say, I don't want to go the way he or she's walking. And you'll be able to live a separate life. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And notice, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Canaan is the promised land, the holy land, later called Israel. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Morah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And so he's walking all through the Holy Land and that God has promised to him and to his family. Now, even the best of people make mistakes. Even the best of people make hasty decisions and sometimes step out of the will of God. And I believe Abraham's going to make a mistake here now that's going to affect his nephew. It begins in verse number 10. Look at that, Genesis 12 now and verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, God didn't tell him to do that. He just did it. He panicked in a famine. There's other stories of people who panicked in a famine in the Bible. Remember them? Naomi, she panicked in a famine and left Bethel and messed up her family, messed up her sons. Her sons ended up getting killed in the land of Moab. Her one, they married heathen girls. The one heathen girl went back to her demon gods. Only Ruth was she able to bring out of that mess. She panicked in a famine. Everyone else stayed in Bethlehem. And one time after being in Moab for 10 years, she heard that God had visited Bethlehem in giving them bread. You know, all famines are going to come to an end eventually. Now, I'm talking about spiritual famines in your life. Sometimes you get to a point where there's a spiritual famine in your life. What do I mean? I mean when you start saying things like this, I don't get anything out of church. I don't get anything out of preaching. I don't get anything out of the Bible. I don't get anything out of prayer. I don't get anything out of serving the Lord. I think I'll just quit, and pretty soon you quit and you go off to the world. Egypt is a type or a picture of the world in the Bible. And I want you to notice in a famine, he leaves the Holy Land, the Promised Land. He leaves Canaan and he goes down into Egypt. I want to encourage you, when famines come, do not move. Don't move. Stay there and God will eventually come back and bless you and visit you. Do not do anything drastic in a famine, especially you teenagers. Eventually you'll grow up and going to church won't be cool anymore. Not cool. And one friend will drop out, another friend will drop out, another friend will drop out. Eventually you'll say, I'm going to quit too. Man, you're going to end up in Egypt. And you're going to end up around the wrong people. And those who do not love the Lord, our principal says tonight, will not help you serve the Lord. Do not quit in a famine. Now what happens here? And it came to pass when he was come near, he told his wife Sarah to lie. He said, you're a really beautiful woman. When we go down there, don't tell them you're my wife, because then somebody will kill me so they can have you. And I'm just abbreviating here. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall, verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. It came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, sure enough, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Man, ladies, you get in the wrong place, something bad's going to happen to you. And men, if we don't protect the dear ladies and the women and the girls, something bad's going to happen to them. Especially if we take them down into Egypt. It's not good for girls to be there. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he gave her all kinds of stuff. And the Lord plagued, verse 17, Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done to me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. And they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now what's this got to do with Lot? He took Lot with him down into Egypt. Now I want you to understand, Egypt was full of glamour back then. It was full of glitz. It was the educational center of the world. It was the richest place on earth. It was the most blessed. It was the most prosperous. It was the most fruitful. Moses would later talk about his decision to choose rather the afflictions of the people of God than all the treasures of Egypt. It was just, it would be like going to today Las Vegas or Manhattan or something and just being wowed. It didn't affect Abraham, but it affected his nephew Lot when he took him down there. You know, we can go ahead and show our children the world, but then don't be surprised if the world affects them. Don't be surprised if they're not the least bit interested in our God. our lifestyle, our walk with Christ, if we just lay the world out in front of our kids. Let us not be shocked if we let them see the world if we can't get the world out of them. And that's what's going to happen to Lot here. He took his nephew Lot out of Egypt in verse 13, but he couldn't get Egypt out of Lot. It was in his heart. And notice how Egypt has an effect on Lot. And it's going to see the Egyptians were not people who loved the Lord. And those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. Let's read quickly chapter 13 now. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journeys to Bethel, etc. Verse 5 says this, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he's about ready to make his decision. I want you to notice five words in this verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. Now notice these next five words. Like the land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt. See, Abraham had introduced Lot to Egypt. Then he pulled him out because God didn't want him there. God doesn't want any of us there. Pulled him out. They get back into the promised land, and he's got herds, Abraham's got herds, and they're starting to fight. All the herdmen are striving, and finally comes to a time of separation, and Abram says, look, it's time for you to go out on your own. Separate yourself. Whichever way you choose, I'll go the other way. And what did Lot choose? Lot chose to direct his life towards Sodom and Gomorrah because it reminded him of one thing. It was like the land of Egypt. And man, he liked Egypt. He loved the world. He says, that's where I want to live. Boy, that's the closest I can get to Egypt, and that's what I want. And he began the plain of Zoar. Now, you go over there today, and it's just desolate. There's no Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no Admah. There's no Zeboam. There's no Zoar. My wife and I have been there. All there is a lot of sulfur scattered around, which was the product of fire and brimstone coming from heaven. It has a density unlike any other sulfur anywhere else found on planet Earth. The sulfur. There's still sulfur balls. When you go over there, spread around that area like the millions. Sulfur balls. The Bible said God rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And the evidence is there. There's no sulfur like it on the earth. And I've got some video of that by Ron Wyatt. If you ever want to see it, it's just profound. And when you go there today, there's nobody lives there. There's not one single house there. There's nothing there as you look around that whole region of the Dead Sea, what we call. But at the time, it's described in verse 10, even as the garden of the Lord. I mean, it was like the Garden of Eden. It was just like Egypt. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Notice, first of all, he looked towards Sodom. And he said, man, that's like the Garden of Eden. Man, that's like Egypt. That's where I want to be. And then he pitched his tent towards Sodom, verse 12. But there's a big problem with Sodom. Even though it's so beautiful, green grass, man, they had beautiful gardens back then, beautiful homes. In the book of Luke, Jesus, reflecting back on Sodom and Gomorrah, says they built it, they planted, they made things and so on and so forth. It was a thriving place. It's a great place to be. Over in Luke 17, Jesus described it that way. But what's the big problem? Verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Our principle tonight is this: those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. Now, Abraham had brought his nephew Lot up to know the Lord. Keep your place right here. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 7 says, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. In other words, that's supposed to be an example. When you go over there today, you climb up on Masada and you look down at all this white sulfur and all the sulfur balls, nobody living there, there's not one blade of green grass in the place. That is supposed to be an example to everybody that should decide to live ungodly hereafter of God's judgment on the people of Sodom. What we're called Sodomites. That's the Bible word for them, Sodomites. That's how bad it was. Verse 6. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot. That word just means he had been justified. But he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Notice Lot described in verse 8, for that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. What does all that mean? Lot was a just man. Lot was a righteous man. Abraham had brought him up to know the Lord. But then Lot began making decisions for himself that Abraham could no longer control. And he chose to live towards Egypt. He chose to live towards Sodom. He just loved the way it looked, but the people were all bad. The people of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, let's skip way to the end of the story. Turn to Genesis 19, and we'll close with this. Genesis 19, verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What does that mean? What that means is that Lot lived there so long, about 20 to 22 years, according to my studies, I don't know. But he really hunkered down in Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked at it first, that he beheld it, and said, wow, it looks just like the Garden of Eden, just like Egypt. Then he pitched his tent towards it, and then he hunkered down in it and was elevated in government. That's what verse 1 means. When you sit in the gate, whenever you read that phrase in the Bible, that means you have become an elder of that town or that city, so that you sit in the gate so that men going out of the gate to work and coming home from work through the gate could meet you as a government official, and you could do business with him and talk about problems with things that need to be addressed and so on and so forth. When it says Lot sat in the gate here in verse 1, doesn't mean he was lazy. It means he had elevated himself in that society, chose to bring up his wife, chose to bring up his children there, and had become high up in government. And so he sees these two angels. They appear as men. He bows to them. He brings them into the house where he lived. But verse 4 says this, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young men, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men, these two angels, which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now this is one of the filthiest stories that you'll ever read in history. And God records these things for us Because he wants us to be reminded of the example they are. These were homosexual men, young and old, who wanted to abuse these two angels. It's in the Bible. And God said they were wicked before the Lord exceedingly. Now, just how badly can somebody degenerate who's a just and righteous man? What I'm about ready to read is unbelievable, that a man who's called just and righteous can degenerate this far by hanging around those types of people that long. But I'm going to read it to you. Verse number 5. And they call verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, I wouldn't believe this unless it was in the Bible. Verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. That's about one of the sickest things you'll ever read anywhere in history. And that's how degenerated a person can become if they do not follow Principle 6 tonight, which says those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. So we have to be careful where we live. We have to be careful where we move to. We have to be careful who we associate with. And we have to practice biblical separation, which I'll close the message with here in a moment. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow Lot came into sojourn through Sodom, and he will needs be a judge. All of a sudden, he's our judge. How dare you judge our behavior? You ever hear that? That's what people say nowadays, no matter how wicked they are. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, that's the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they, the angels, smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The angels smote them with blindness. In the same chapter later, God smote them with fire and brimstone from heaven. God did not approve of this kind of behavior. But I'm not talking about the Sodomites tonight. Look at what Lot has degenerated to. Look at the potential of what could happen to a just man and a righteous man if, like Peter said, he constantly vexes his righteous soul by seeing and hearing the ungodly deeds of the wicked. Now, the problem today is we don't have to find some town like Sodom and Gomorrah to observe the ungodly deeds of the wicked. We just have to turn our television on and watch 2 1/2 Men. Or something like that. And other television shows. We can see and hear the ungodly deeds of the wicked with a remote, with internet sites, with the music we listen to, the dancing shows that are on. You don't think that's going to vex your righteous soul? And it gets worse. It gets worse. Let's skip a lot of it. Lot is saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's got two sons that perished in the fire. His wife perished. She turned into a pillar of salt. Two daughters perished, but the two others got out with him. That's it. Verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man on the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Now this is what we call today incest. It's also called fornication. Again, I wouldn't believe it except it was in the Bible. Where do you think his daughters got these thoughts from? Where do you think they can think in such a polluted, corrupt, ungodly way? How can girls think this way? Dad let them watch it all the time. Dad brought them on purpose to live in that kind of a society. These weren't thoughts that just came into their own mind. These were just stuff they saw happen all the time. And both daughters end up pregnant by their father and have children. One was the father of the Ammonites, one the Moabites, who became great arch enemies of Israel. Those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. Did Lot serve the Lord? No. Did he know the Lord? Yes. The just and righteous man, did he serve the Lord? No. His entire family was destroyed because of his worldliness. Now, last of all, turn and then we'll pray. Turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14. I'm just trying to teach this principle a little different than Steve taught it tonight. He did so well at it, it was enough, but we're just trying to enhance that, add to it with this story. Why does God put these things in the Bible? So others might learn to fear. You know, you can watch your R-rated movies, your pornography, and all that kind of, and you can hope somehow it's not going to affect you. And all this filthy music and dancing and all that kind of stuff. But man, eventually it's going to vex your righteous soul, and eventually these things are going to begin to live out through you. And you'll never serve the Lord. You won't even think about serving the Lord. Just about the flesh. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now I know we got to work with unbelievers. We got to buy stuff from unbelievers. We got to live next to unbelievers. But we don't have to get yoked up to them in our life, our personal matters, our activities, our behavior, and so on. We don't have to be yoked. We don't have to marry unbelievers. You ought to wait, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to wait till God brings a good man into your life who's also a believer. And if you're a man, you ought to wait till God brings a good lady into your life who's also a believer. And then she'll have God in her life, and you'll have God in your life, and together with God, you can have a wonderful marriage, wonderful relationship. Wait for God's best. Don't settle for anything. Just wait for God's best. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Skip down to verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you shall be, and I will be, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What does that mean? That means we can have a very, very intimate relationship with God only through separated living. Separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Abraham did all right, didn't he? Didn't he live in close proximity to Sodom and Gomorrah? But he chose to separate from it, didn't he? And he brought up his family to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. Isaac. And then his grandson Jacob and so on and so forth. They weren't perfect. But they served the Lord. Abraham turned his back. Abraham could have gone down to Sodom and said, hey man, that is like Eden. That is like Egypt. Wow. Abraham could have done that, but Abraham said, no, I'm going to say no to all the glamour, all the glitz, all the wow, all the dazzle, all the people partying, having a good time, and I'm going to separate myself unto God. And Abraham was blessed, and to this day, Abraham continues to be blessed by his decision to be separated from the world in the day that he lived in. Those who do not love the Lord, the Egyptians, the Sodomites, people around us that have no love for the Lord, will not help you serve the Lord. But if you'll stay in church, you'll find some people all the time, not everybody in church, but some people who really love the Lord, and they'll help you serve the Lord. And nobody on their deathbed ever regretted serving the Lord. Nobody ever said, man, what a waste of time this life was. All right, we're going to pray, and then the kids are going to come up. Somebody can go down and get them. And they got their program. And then after church tonight, if you need to be saved or you want to talk, I'll be glad to talk with you or have somebody else talk with you about anything, pray with you. Father, bless now the study. Help us. Help us just to leave here by faith and say that there's some people we got to separate from. They don't love the Lord. We don't want to pretend we're any better than them. We're not. We just love you, Lord. And we know they will contaminate the soul. Help us to watch what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Or we won't want to serve the Lord either. Our souls will be vexed. And Lord, help us to be a separated people. God, help everybody here tonight who's not saved to be saved. And everybody who has been worldly to repent and get back to Christ and draw near to the Lord so they can be blessed by the presence of God. I bless our children's program tonight, the rest of our evening together in Jesus' name. Amen.